Morning. It is good to be here in God's house. I am glad to see all of you here. We are thankful to have visitors come our way this morning. If this is your first time visiting with us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, we thank you so much for being with us this morning and worshiping with us. If you're a returning visitor, thank you again for your confidence in coming back and being with us. And we trust that you'll have a good time in the Lord. And all of our faithful, I'm thankful that you're here as well. Still, many are traveling on their way back in from the holidays, and be in prayer for them as well as they get back into their place. December is upon us. We are right there at the doorstep of December. Tomorrow, I believe, when you wake up, it will be December. And we have a lot planned for December. Don't forget the Christmas play is coming up, and it'll be on Sunday morning the 14th. And we'll be finishing up the preparations for that and getting it in line and in order that we may present a good presentation that Sunday morning. Now, it will not be any different than any other Sunday morning service other than we'll have the play during that time as well. And so we'll have the regular service and with the play. And then that evening we'll have our candlelight service that Sunday evening as well. We have a gift that has been sent our way for you to take and to have. It's a beautiful 2015 calendar put together by Osceola Memory Gardens. They're over here, free to take for anybody. It has church information here on the end. Also, they've done a really nice job of being helpful to our church. As they have in years past, they will also be delivering poinsettias for the month. They'll be placed out, and that's just a gift from them to us, and we're glad to be a part of what they do over there. So that is a beautiful 2015 calendar right there, free to take. They're on the front row. Don't forget the Call of Glories are here as well for the month of December over there. And I think that covers it all. Oh, I did want to say something. The Thanksgiving boxes that went out, we did five of them this year, was a blessing to all five of the different people that got them and received them. And so, church, I'm thankful that you was willing to give extra and above that we may be a blessing to five different families in our community. So let's go to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter number 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 10. Trust that all of you are full from turkey and had a good Thanksgiving. I certainly did. It was a blessed time for our family. We had a family that came in, and then we visited together for the last couple of days. And so we were glad to have family come in, and especially our granddaughter. That was a blessing. And our daughter as well. Our son-in-law, okay. Y'all pray for him. He left on vacation last night, headed to North Carolina, and broke down in Georgia about 2 or 3 in the morning. So his vacation time is going to be eaten up with mechanic shops if he doesn't find somebody that can help him out pretty quick. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36. We're going to talk about patience this morning. Patience. I know that many of you was brave enough to get up on Black Friday and go shopping. For what reasons, I have no idea. The only thing I would want to go for, if I did want to go, was to be able to film some of the things that take place. Hoping that I find some of our church members acting right, not fighting over 32-inch screen television, flat-screen TVs, but patience. I guess I should have preached this one last Sunday, but we need patience, because many of you have already, if not this past week, but in the week to come, will be putting up your Christmas trees and getting them ready for Christmas. And what a blessed time that is. Boy, Christ being born on this earth of a virgin living a sinless, spotless life to die on the cross of Calvary. What a gift for us. So it's a blessed time, but some of you probably already have some gifts already purchased and wrapped. And those that you purchased them for will need patience to wait for them. But this is not a Christmas message, but it is about patience. And we're going to get into looking at patience during suffering, patience during sorrow, patience in success, having patience in setbacks, and patience in our service for the Lord. So we're going to look at patience today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Patience. Well, I tell you, we can all use patience, but I understand this, that when you ask God for patience, you have to be willing to go to the school that you're going to receive this patience, because it doesn't just come by itself. There's things that happen in our life that gives us patience. You think about sufferings. Boy, many of us have in our lifetime have suffered through some things, different things for different people. What comes to my mind on a biblical sense is James chapter 5. James chapter 5 is the man called Job. Job. Everybody knows Job, the things that took place in his life. But James chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says there, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. When we think about suffering, so you're like, well, you know, I want that to get by past quickly. When sufferings come, I want them to land. I want them to get out of my life and get down the road. I don't want them to hang around too long. But boy, you study the life of Job. The life of Job is something that is. Now, I think I'm going in and out there, Justin. Help me out a minute. Either this is still on or something. Job, you think about Job. In Job chapter 13, if you'd flip back over there and see what Job said about his life. Job is right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 13 and verse number 15. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Now you understand, Job was a wealthy man. Job had all kind of items and material goods that belonged to him. He had a wonderful family. And there was a meeting in the heavens, and Satan approached God, and God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And then Satan and the Lord was talking back and forth, and Job said, listen, if you was to touch him, he wouldn't be so grateful. If you'd let me, and the Lord said, okay, I permit it, go ahead, you can't have his life. And we know, in one sitting, all kind of troubles came. I mean, his animals was taken, his children was taken, he was sit with boils upon his body from head to toe, and then he had friends that came about, including his wife, and they would try to encourage Job in some form of encouragement. Most of it was discouragement, if you would think about it. So when you're trying to encourage someone, be careful with your words, because sometimes what we say, it may make good sense in your mind, but when you open up your mouth, has what you've thought in your mind in some portion of your life never come out right when you spoke it? Well, I'm telling you, that has happened so much to me. In some of my illustrations, you know, I try to give and in my mind, boy, they sound great and sound like, oh, this is going to be a good one. And then after it comes out, I was like, Lord, help, I'm in trouble with that one. That did not sound or come together like it was supposed to. But in Job's life, boy, he was going through it, and his friends came and his wife came there, and they was trying to encourage him, and it became discouragement to him. But in verse 15 of chapter 13 of the book of Job, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Job was very patient during his time of suffering. And we should be patient during our time of suffering. You know, sometimes we're just going to have to stop for a moment and look to God and say, God, show me what's the purpose in the suffering. Show me what am I to learn during this time that I may not seek to have the suffering pass, but I might learn patience during this suffering, that it may bring glorification to your name and that you may get the glory from all of this. We're going to have to pray for patience during suffering. And I'm not talking about your sufferings from being stuck in traffic. Listen, everybody gets stuck in traffic. Sometimes we think the end of the world comes whenever traffic is come to a standstill in our life and we can't get from point A to point B as fast as we think we need to. I'm talking about things that are on a real level of suffering. Things like children going astray. Things like illnesses and sicknesses that come into our body for no reason whatsoever. You know, past summer we had two of our men of our church have heart attacks, and those two men I wouldn't have thought would have been the two that would have had it. There was a couple of more that I said, now hey, this one and that one, they should have had heart attacks, but these two, they're pretty healthy. They care for themselves and you know, exercise and eat a good diet, but they are the ones that had it. So I'm talking about sufferings that are real, like mental anguish called depression. That's real, dear friend. People sit in depression and they suffer through that. And we need to pray and ask God to give us patience as we work through these real life sufferings. Loss of life. We've had some people that have gone on to be with the Lord here and gone before what we might consider their time to go on to be with the Lord. But we are the ones left here through the suffering. And we've got to pray and ask God to, whatever happens, Lord, maybe you're going to slay me also, but I'm going to trust you. And Job said, but I will maintain my own ways before him. In other words, I'm going to be patient in the midst of the suffering. Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you trying to show me? When my heart is breaking, my life seems to be falling apart. Look in Psalms, if you would, verse 40. Psalms 40 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. This past weekend I posted a little post on my Facebook page that said, God understands the language of tears. Your sorrow, that heartache, that brokenness, whatever it may be, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you was in the midst of a relationship and it just did not work out. And I'm telling you, those are real hurts. That's why pastors always encourage our young people, just be friends. Run as fast as you can to God, and if you meet somebody on the way, introduce yourself, and if God puts you together at the end, glory be to God. Just be patient. Because those sorrows, those heartaches are real. Maybe some of you in the past have poured your life into a business, into a business or a job or a career, and you've put many years into there, and it just comes to an abrupt end. That's heartbreaking. Maybe you've made investments somehow along the way and the investments didn't go like you thought they should go, and it breaks your heart in the midst of that. Those are real sorrows, dear friend. But I'm telling you, wait patiently on the Lord because He hears your tears. Not only in the midst of your sufferings and your outward afflictions, but in the breaking of your heart, the sorrow where no man or no woman knows that you're even broken, God knows that you are hurting. What I do during the midst of all this here sorrow and this heartache, hey, listen, Christ bore deception, disgrace, and death with patience. You have to be patient during those hearts. You think for one moment when Christ was upon the cross of Calvary, or way before He even got there, He's washing the feet of Judas. And Judas would betray Him. You didn't think it broke His heart? It broke His heart, dear friend. And so much He said, Judas, Judas, what you do, go do quickly. Go ahead and do it, Judas. Do you think while the trial was going on and Peter is on the outside and Jesus being God and Peter denying Him, do you not think at that moment when the cock crowed thrice that it did not bring sorrow of deception and denial to His heart? But He bore it patiently. He bore it patiently, dear friend. Listen, we should be patient in the midst of our sorrows, enduring the trials and troubles and testing, just like the Lord Jesus did, just like it teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, be ye kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why do you think He would tell us to forgive if there would not be a need for forgiveness? If you're going to forgive someone, it's because they've done something to hurt you. If God has given us a command or a directive to be forgiving, He knows that someone has hurt us. Someone has done us wrong. Why should we do it? For Christ's sake, even as God has forgiven us. In the midst of that sorrow, in the middle of that that heartbreak, you've got to learn to forgive with patience. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, some people do not show true contrition fast enough. Doesn't mean that they're not sorry. Doesn't mean that they're not broken for what they've done. So in our suffering, in our sorrow, we've got to find that patience. Like it said in Hebrews chapter 10, 36, for ye have need of patience. Boy, we need it. When we think about need of patience, we think about it with children and raising kids and things. Yes, you need it. Boy, you can make all kinds of mistakes with your children. You need patience. But it goes far beyond that. Need patience in the middle of that suffering. Patience in the middle of that sorrow. You need patience in the middle of success. Because if you're not patient in the middle of that success, before you know it, you're saying, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Hebrews 12, 1. See what those scriptures say there. Patience is need in the obtaining of success. It's needed in maintaining success. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know why you need patience in obtaining success? Because of overconfidence. Well, we get to thinking what we've done and how we've accomplished this all in us, and before we know it, the rug's jerked out from under us, or we're sitting in the saddle and we're bucked off the horse, whatever terminology you want to use and desire to use, before you know it, you're flat in your face. tell you, dear friend, you need patience because sometimes you overwork yourself to success. We need rest. The Bible talks about coming to the Lord for rest. And sometimes, we overreach and overwork our bodies and our minds until we're broken and we're not able to maintain in the midst of success. Patience is needed when the success is eventually obtained. Like it talks about in 1 Samuel, when Samuel's about to anoint a new king. And God says to Samuel, "Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance. I look on the heart." Sometimes we look at people, even in the middle of church, like we have ministries. If you play an instrument, listen, dear friend, don't hide it. Come talk to Brother Bill, Brother Jim, and come say, "Hey, I'd like to play up there, but I'm not the best. I don't play just the best." But listen, sometimes it's just your ability and availability that you have to say, "Hey, I'm available, I'm not too good, but boy, I would love to give what I have to the Lord." And I'll tell you, the Lord is well reasonable when it comes to understanding that not all of us deserve first chair. That's why there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He doesn't ever stop at second chair violinist and let me talk to you. He doesn't say, "Hey, listen, I don't have time, go talk to Gabriel." Jesus is always first and center when it comes to intercession. So maybe you're not the best and not the best. Listen, it's sometimes you say, "Lord, hear me. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." You saw empty seats sitting in the choir. If you can sing, hey, "Lord, I want to be part of that." And be part of it. Make yourself available. Sometimes we're so successful and obtained that in the midst of our success, well, he or she, they're really not good enough to be in the choir. God help. Would to God we'd understand that it is not a show.
Amen.
That this is not about entertainment. This is about God's children opening up their lungs and their voice and their mouth and singing praises to a holy and righteous God. If we're not careful, when we obtain the voice, we look down upon others. When we obtain the ability to bring out snakes out of a basket, we look down upon others who have a hard time carrying a tune in a bucket. And we wonder why children do not desire to serve in churches. I read an article about 5 months ago about why the millennials, whoever you guys are, the millennials, are leaving the churches by the grove. I'll tell you why. It's because at the age of 13 years old, 14 years old, we don't involve them in church. They're just here to look pretty. No, they're God's children and they're the church of today. Amen. Not when they're 40-something. We need servants now that are teenagers and youth with strength and vibrancy. Amen. Oh, no, they're not arrived yet. We're successful Christians. We need patience to look upon the heart and not the appearance and countenance of someone. There's a lot of preachers have gotten themselves in trouble because they surrounded businessmen with no heart of God for them, for God, but they have business sense. Well, that makes a lot of sense. This is God's business. And first and foremost, you need a heart for God. And then take your abilities and your talents and say, "Lord, here am I. Use them as you will." A lot of churches having unregenerated members in their membership because they look at somebody, "Well, he's moral, she's moral," but they've never trusted Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. They bring them right onto the membership. Why? Because they got a little money. Preacher's got to look out for his golf game. That's why I never got into golf. The only golfing I'd like to do is go out there at the golf thing with a shotgun as they shoot their balls, try to shoot them out of the sky. Bullets are cheaper than golf guns, golf balls now, right now, anyway. But we get in the middle of success and we're not patient. We have to be patient with others, Brother James, till they grow, and don't cut them off because we've arrived in our mind. In suffering and sorrow and success. Psalms 37, verse 7. Well, I get all excited when it comes to preaching for some reason. I get excited about kids wanting to be a part of God's work. I get excited about seniors not wanting to get to the fifth quarter. There's no fifth quarter in God's work. Fourth quarter work and you stay hard at it. And you say, well, I can't do what I used to. Oh, but you can pray a lot harder. You can mentor a lot more. You can encourage the younger a little bit better instead of being a grumpy old crawdad sitting on the stump and saying, why don't you do this? Why you ain't doing that? What's wrong with you? Hey, go get them, boys. We're behind you in prayer. Jeez, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble. I better move. Hebrews, what did I tell y'all? Psalm something. See, I was just seeing if y'all they're cutting me off, thinking about your food, thinking about getting out of here, but you're all on it. 37:7. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Not only should it be in sorrow, sufferings and success, but dear friend, I don't know about you, but have you ever climbed up the mountain of life and you got about 7 steps up the mountain of life and before you know it, your foot slipped and you slid down about 5 or 6 steps? I mean, just you were going headlong and you had everything by the horns and life was going good, then all of a sudden it just bang, stop, and you were sent back. I'll tell you, during those times of setbacks, you better be patient. Because like this verse says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of Him who prospereth in His way. We get to looking over there, we get looking out there, we look here, we look there, and we say, Lord, I'm doing all I can, I'm doing the best I can, but look at them. They're not even trying, and they are successful. They are making it in life. And Lord, I do this and I do that and I just get the feet knocked out from under me all the time. I'm set back every other month or every other week. This is something, this ought to help you. This is a good illustration. Bless Brother Bill's heart. And I hope you don't feel embarrassed about this, but here's a good one. Twice now, has nothing to do with him. Twice now, Brother Bill has tried to get the web page and the Facebook page on track. And it gets overwhelming. He doesn't do this for pay. He does it because he loves the church and loves us. And he has to spend time of his own in his house getting things uploaded. 2 times. Boy, he got it going. It was going good. Built the page. Got it working. And then, he got sick. He got ill, he got better, he got a little behind on upload and this and that and other. And before I know it, he rightly says, Pastor, the hosting company said we can't do what we're doing, and they deleted everything we did. They just deleted it. No warning. So we started another one, another hosting company. Got it going, and it's going good. Then we got a Facebook page going so that people can, send selfies to our Facebook page. And so he got it going. And next thing you know, guess what happened? Facebook sent him a message that says you can no longer use this type of page. You got to use this type of page. And they deleted that page. Sit back. You know what you do, Brother Bill? You wait patient. Stay in it and keep going. Preacher, it just ain't worth it. You remember 6 years ago when there was 13 people voted on us as pastor to come here? You tell me patience isn't worth it.
Amen.
Look at us now. Yeah, preacher, we got a whole lot more empty seats right here. Yes, but remember 13 and how many empty seats? How many now?
Amen.
You can't have it overnight. Amen. Did we have some setbacks in the last 6 years? Oh yeah, we've had some setbacks. We thought we was going this way and we had, oh man, Lord, that just ain't working out. You know what we have to do? Stop, reevaluate, keep going. Setbacks, personal, in your personal life. Listen, setbacks are very difficult to bear. And that job and you're working and somebody else gets promoted before you. Discouraging. Defeats. Kind of humiliates you, don't it? You imagine somebody around the mid course of life and they're middle aged in that maturity, and then they're doing good work, and then they lose it. Do you know how that makes them feel? It makes them feel like they're worth nothing. Like, why did this happen to me? I didn't deserve this, Lord. And it's humiliating. They don't even talk about it. And before long, if they're not careful, they're not resting in the Lord, their eyes is on what happened to them. God has a purpose even in our setbacks, dear friend. I don't enjoy them. You don't enjoy them. But I know that Romans 8 and 28 says all things.
Amen.
All things work together. All things. I can't explain all things. I can't understand why someone would have these setbacks, but they work together if we're patient. If we're patient. Hebrews 6 and 15. We're about close. I'm almost done. I know that you're still full of turkey. Still wanting to get home and watch some more football and all that good stuff. But you bear with me just a little bit. Hebrews 6 and 15. This is the last thought. Hebrews 6 and 15. The Bible says, how about let's start at verse 10. I won't talk about 10 through 15, but I'll just bear with me. Let's read verses 10 through 15. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Amen for that. Which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance and diligence of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience, and inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear no by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You remember the promise. God shows up to Abraham and says, Abraham, get yourself and get out of your land of your nativity. Get and go to a land where I'm going to show you. And I'm going to make your seed as much as the sand of the sea, as much as the stars in the sky. You're going to be so great. And man, time kept going. Things kept happening. He even had a setback, didn't he? Him and his wife got together and came up with this plan about Hagar. Setback that cost him a lot, even to this day. But God didn't keep him down the road, did he? God stuck with him. Abraham endured, and Abraham enjoyed the promise. Even in your service, dear friend, you're going to have to be patient. Listen, when things aren't coming as fast as you think they should come, and they're not just happening like you think, well, my Sunday school's not growing, my choir's not growing, my club's not growing, my Bible club's not growing as fast, and so forth, and you know, and it's dwindling, and it says you got to be patient in your service for the Lord. Listen, and the more you do, I don't know why it's this way. The more you do in your service and minister, did it not say that Lord doesn't forget your labor of love, your minister, and you do minister? It's up there, verse 10, 11, 12, somewhere. Hey, the more you do, I don't understand this, but the more you do, the more criticism you're going to face. I don't understand it. I have no idea. Other than this, we're carnal and we try to pull spiritual people down. I don't understand no more of that. Listen, the more criticism we often receive from other people about what you're doing, how you do it, when you do it, and this, that, and other. The other day, Ms. Jadina was telling me something about the Christmas tree over there. That blessed that Christmas tree's heart in the fellowship hall. I bet you Charlie Brown wouldn't even want it. If this is the last year, we went and bought some new Christmas lights, and I came back and joked, and I said, well, of these new lights, it'll last 5 more years. It ain't lasting another month. Come January, it will be gone. It is that pitiful. She said, Pastor, you think they're going to like these windows? I said, if they don't like them, they can come over here and rearrange these windows themselves. I've just come to that point. If you're going to complain and murmur about something I've done, you're more than welcome to come do it yourself. Your hand fits a weed eater. Your hand fits a lawnmower. Your hand fits a paintbrush. Your hand fits a decoration. Your hand fits a vacuum cleaner. And if you're going to run and complain, hey, you can't run and complain when you're tired and wore out. Come vacuum. Come paint. Come paint. Listen, the more you do, the more criticism you listen. Perseverance is well underrated. I'm not the best preacher in town. I'm not the most educated one. Matter of fact, I feel like sometimes I'm more than half crazy when I'm sitting around thinking about myself. I know most of you think I'm probably 100% crazy. But I think about it. But perseverance, dear friend, I'm telling you, I may not can out-orate them, but I can sure outlast them. And that's what I plan to do. God's placed me someplace until God tells me to move, until God says it's time for you to go somewhere. I'm just going to persevere, and that's what you have to do. Amen. Stick with it. Man, we've got too much of this up and quitting every other day. Amen. Preacher, I want this ministry. We get into that ministry, and we're in it for 6 months, and before long, Lord, how much this is work. Pastor, you got something else I can do? No, stick with it. Persevere. Stay with it. Why? Because Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, do all that you do as heartily as unto the Lord. I'm telling you, perseverance is underrated. It's well underrated. Stick with it in your service. But preacher, they're complaining. They say this. It's not working out. Stay with it. It didn't work out for Abraham too well in the beginning, especially when he got involved in Hagar and all that. But at the end, guess what? Jesus put a nation came together and the birth of Jesus came out and you and I have been grafted in the family of God. I think it worked out pretty good, didn't it, for old Abraham? Even in the midst of his mistakes. So, patience. Hebrews 10:36, where we started, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Yes, sometimes it's the will of God that you suffer. Yes, sometimes in the midst of your sorrow, that's the will of God. Yes, in your success, I believe God desires to make us successful and to help us on our way and to be good citizens in our life, and spiritual success first, though. Remember that. That's more important. Spiritual success is more important than any financial success or business or career success you can have. And in the setbacks, I believe God looks at it. He remolds us, reshapes us, and helps us there. And in our service, dear friend, He desires for us to endure patience.